Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are Ace Up Science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking about gay voice, aka a gay accent. Is it a real thing? Do gay people talk differently than everyone else? We're going through the science, we're going through the psychology. It's going to be a really, really gay episode. And to join us, we have a very, very special guest, our straightest friend, Caleb Marshall, aka the fitness marshal on, you know, YouTube, TikTok, everywhere you can find it. Caleb, thank you for being here as our straight advocate.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let's all try our straightest. Yo, so Caleb, how's it going? What's the... Oh, my God. What did
that's
they say?
That's your straight voice?
No, wait. What's the crack?
Actually try.
Yo, what's the crack down there in LA?
Seriously,
like, come through. Like, what do they do down there?
Wow, my boyfriend's straight.
Wait, why are you shocked? Was that not good?
Yeah, I fucking believe that,
it's
man.
Flawless.
Fucking spit on me.
Yeah, yo. I bet the biddies be thick down there, right?
I don't believe in gay voice. I think my voice is just naturally straight.
Well, so. Yeah, you actually have the straightest voice.
Well, that's really how I actually wanted to start. Well, yeah. I think that, and you know what? Sometimes that's a trauma of itself to be a gay man who was straight passing.
My God.
Okay. And have to deal with internalized homophobia in a different way.
You have it so hard.
I know. I say that all the time. Okay, to start, before we jump into like any science, I'm curious from you guys. Do we think there is actually a quantifiable gay voice? Like, is that a thing? When you meet someone, can you tell they're gay just from their voice?
Yeah, Caleb, you answer, because I did research too, so I know.
Is this what I want to know is, will I get canceled for this opinion?
No.
I don't think, no.
I mean, I
he says something so crazy.
I firmly believe that if I just hear a voice, like, I think we can tell. I'm not saying, like, you're just gay, but I'm like, you're not just straight. And I think that's a fair opinion.
Yeah, totally. I think my experience through life, like, obviously it's not that all gay guys have a gay voice, but there are some people that you can tell. Maybe you could tell from even like the more mask presenting voices that people are gay, but I mean maybe it's a mix of cues as well. You pick up mannerisms, you pick up like the way
inflection.
People act. Yeah, but I'd say like definitely probably at least most gay people can pick it up because you're like on high alert for those kind of cues. And I don't think it's just impressed upon gay culture from straight culture, even though obviously straight people are like, how come that person talks like all of our videos? It's just like, why do they talk like that?
I know it is crazy. Like, people are really pressed about it online if you are a gay guy, period, and you talk like the way we talk.
Anytime one of my videos like goes like outside of my audience to like the general public, and all the comments, I swear to God, are, thought it was a man till he opened his mouth. Or like, that voice coming out of that body, like all my comments are about my voice. And I'm like, I have to shut the fuck up for the rest of my life.
No,
like,
no.
I'm
okay,
not
wait.
Going to. But like,
imagine yeah, we were yeah, like, yeah. actually, like, yeah, oh. probably should.
It's just like not okay, something I would ever clock. And I'm like, yeah. the thing that like most people are, that's the first thing they notice. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Do you change your voices if you're around certain people? Like if you go like at the gym per se, like, yo, bro, you got the 50s.
I would rather die.
Because I find that I don't, but I know like I know people who do. And sometimes like I think I might like.
I think I do, but not it's not to like be straight. It's like even around just, you know, like when you're in like a professional setting or you're in like a serious environment, like my voice probably also changes.
Oh my God. Yeah. In professional settings, you're always like, yeah, I'll shoot you an email. You like talking this like insane like business jargon that I also am always like trying not to laugh out loud like in a meeting. Like, yeah, we'll shoot an email and we'll follow up with the like contract.
You.
And it's like,
no!
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mean to change on purpose. I think it's just like, and maybe it's, I'm sure everyone does this to a degree. Like when you're in a specific group setting, you like mesh with the group. You try and like blend in. Or maybe I'm somebody who's like had a harder time feeling like standing out is like scary for me. So maybe I'm like more morphing in that
I think
way.
I used to do that all the time. Like when I was, especially like when I wasn't as comfortable with my sexuality, I would think so much about how I was presenting. But at like, especially being an adult now and just giving less fucks in general, I've found that like yeah. I just don't. Even around my like my very conservative grandparents, I'm like, Grandma, Grandpa, Merry Christmas. It's just like I don't
shaking your titties if anyone's not able to see the video. Your Merry Christmas comes with jingle bells out of your tits.
Absolutely. Yeah, I just don't care anymore, and it's been refreshing to like notice that transition in myself. But like I used to my even. Like family would be like, why are you talking that way? Like, are you, ever since you came out, you've been like acting gayer. And I was like, no, I've just like been policing how I present myself less. And okay. that is shocking to people.
The first study I have to bring up is amazing because it's on YouTubers and how their voices change when they came out online. It's literally like a study looking at like Troye Sivan before his coming out video
versus
and then
after.
Troye Sivan after, and their inflection and intonation changes. And so they like literally used science, got a bunch of YouTubers.
Can you name any others? Like, are there not to like call
no, I feel bad because okay. I actually didn't know them and I don't want to like out any that like, no. okay, but they like were able to put essentially like they can use the information from yeah. this online YouTube information. So that's
wait,
like,
wait, like the actual
thing.
Whoa, that was like a real study.
Like they were using
yes,
their
it was
videos.
A real study. It's on YouTubers. So they took YouTubers who identify as heterosexual, like from certain dates to certain dates, so who never come out. Then YouTubers who came out because like it is public information. Like every YouTuber in like 2017,
yeah, there was an
was,
era
like,
where every
out.
YouTuber was
yeah,
coming
and
out,
and then they were like their voices change after. But it's not. Oh, like, yeah. But you're right. It's not. It's not like their voices changed. They just weren't policing, like you said, their voices. I was like, that's freaking cool. Because I do think that I probably... Actually, no, I'm so gay. I like, everyone, like, from when I was, like, 7 years old was just like, yeah, gay. And I was just like, wait, what? Because I was like, I feel like I wasn't putting enough effort into, like, masking.
You couldn't hide it. Yeah. Well, it speaks to like, do you feel like you were you really self-aware of it at a younger age of your voice or not yeah, till older?
I think it was more when I got older or like when kids would call it out. But I also did yeah. so much theater and like performing when I was a kid. So I kind of got away with it because they were like, oh, he's just theatrical. Like right. he has a stage
yeah.
voice.
That's what sometimes that Greg good. Would say. Like he taught in the UK and the kids were like one time said like, oh, we used to think you were gay and we hated you. But then we realized it's just a Canadian accent.
And I was like, okay. it is. Like, I was like too afraid to come out. It's like, it's just the way I am. I also remember once like doing a dance. This is for you, the fitness marshal. Like doing like a dance with my two girlfriends in grade 7, like to Janet Jackson for the whole school. Like the, and like this like sincere like guy coming up to me, like not even bullying me, just like pulling me aside and being like, you're gay. And it was honestly, I was just like, oh my God. Like he clocked me. As, it wasn't like mean. It was like, you're gay, bud. Like,
like
it was
okay.
like kind of cute. Yeah. Yeah. And I was just like, okay. Like, no, I'm not.
I think like it's also interesting, like both or all of us live in like progressive cities with lots of other gay people. So I think as you grow up, if you're once you're around or in a safe environment, you also grew up in Toronto. So I feel like you as a younger person probably felt safer than like people who grew up in small towns or in more conservative environments. That maybe that's why you weren't as self-conscious of like sounding gay.
Maybe, yeah.
But I feel like it also starts to self-reinforce when like you now you're around gay friends and you have lots of gay friends and it's kind of fun. There's like a whole, there's like lingo and everything. Now we all watch Drag Race and there's like drag lingo. You know, like it starts to be part of your identity even though you're not like, I did get that a lot too, and I've seen friends that it's happened to when like after they came out, it is like, wow, you are way gayer now than you ever were before.
Have you guys seen the singer, I think Lauv is his name?
Oh yeah, and he's gay.
Yeah, he just like came out and he's like, I'm bi, like I think I'm gay, but he did a video and he's like, I want to talk like this, but like I'm so used to talking like this. But his whole singing career, he's talked a certain way, and he now is like, oh, like that's actually not my voice. And I'm like,
wow,
are all straight men like masking and trying to talk deeper, or is it like their masculinity?
So many studies on this.
Okay, so can I also jump in just to start? What are you going to talk about?
Oh, like pretty much all those things.
Okay, just go.
Well, no, the one thing was like there was a study, 373 Italians. I'm like, well, they all sound gay. No, I'm kidding.
And on this podcast, Greg has a tendency to lose all of our audience. He always drags on Australians. He drags on like who else?
And now Italians. That's the wrong
just
one.
Every episode we're losing audience.
They're so masculine and don't want to hear that. But it was Italians and British people, and they would have them speak whether they were gay or straight, and the people who were listening would talk to them first, and whether the listeners were straight or gay sounding would change how the people would talk.
That makes sense. Oh, wait, but the people were gay, the study?
Gay and straight. So straight people, when they spoke to other straight people, would obviously stay straight. When they spoke to gay people, their voices wouldn't change. Gay people, when they spoke to straight people, it would be a little different. And when they spoke to gay people, it was like, sister, tea, honey. Like, it was like, they were looking at how it's like an in-group way of communicating.
They know that that was the study? Like, did they know that their voices?
No, they were trying to like hide that
from them.
But like, obviously, sometimes with these studies, you're like, well, they obviously know it's a study, but like,
well, they could trick. They often do like, oh, this is a study about cookies, and you're going to be eating cookies with like a stranger. Like, they may not realize what the actual thing is about.
Yeah, but essentially, it was just that the straight people weren't. They didn't like all of a sudden start talking gay when they were talking to gay people. So whether that means that they are like always masking it or not, it's not a yes or no to that, but it's not like they're as susceptible to the inflection of gay people talking to other gay people.
Yeah, but to me that's like, of course a straight guy's not going to talk more gay when he's around a gay guy. But to your point, Caleb, I'm sure it's subconscious, but I feel like probably straight guys also feel the pressure to be hyper-masculine.
Yeah.
Whether that's presenting hyper-masculine, whether that's like talking hyper-masculine, obviously it depends on your friends and if they're like a comfortable straight guy versus an insecure straight guy.
That
I can imagine like a lot of straight guys probably do kind of put on a voice if they're around their hyper-mask friends.
It's like, does any straight man have a gay voice? Like, what... Or is
okay, so another study I had was about how, like, when they actually studied straight women, straight men, and gay men's voices, and they found by actually like using all these like really technical ways, one of them was called like harmonics to noise ratio. It's like how much air comes out of your mouth and vocal cords, and how much your vocal cords move based on how much air is leaving. Because girls tend to actually speak in which they like use their vocal cords more than men, and gay men were doing the same thing. And what they found was that gay men and women have way more intonation variety when they speak. It was like it was like 4.11 hertz pitch variation. So gay men have way more pitch variation than straight men.
Yeah.
We have range, and that's also what women have. But they did find that there were still straight men who had gay pitch variation, but they were very few of them. So to answer your question, like, there could be straight guys with gay voice, but statistically it's like less likely that their pitch variation is going to be as much.
Is it like they're just like not using all of their powers, like they're just like keeping it to themselves?
Like, kind of, honestly. I know. And then but there was another like kind of thing that they measured for. It was called like vibration or something, or it had this weird name, but like men did it more. And it kind of creates like a, it was like a raspy, a rumble kind of thing. It's kind of sounded gay though. It was called like, jitter. It was called jitter.
Wait, straight men do that more?
Yes. But I kind of assumed the jitter would be the girl and the gay, but the jitter like was more increased in heterosexual men. And it kind of, they described it as almost like a sort of like a kind of like,
oh, I thought that was a gay thing.
Like vocal a vocal fry?
It wasn't vocal fry though. Like okay. It was like words and they were trying to describe it.
I must have looked at the same study because I heard the word jitter, but I'm just like, I can't remember.
Jitterbug, dude, yeah.
Yeah, I do think that straight guys are just not using like their upper range.
Right.
Okay. But I think it is like part of it is that, and this is part of what the research shows too. Like, I'm assuming you're the same. Like, did you mostly have girlfriends growing up and or now?
So when I became like an adult gay and like moved to LA, my friends definitely shifted more gay men. But
yeah, fair.
When I grew up in Indiana, like all close girlfriends, like I have very few close male friends. I like one.
What are you saying? Do you have many like close straight male friends?
Well, I hooked up with one.
He passes out. He just crows cross-eyed and falls over.
I think I have one good straight male friend. Yeah, but I also think everybody's pretty common. Gay.
Yeah, oh, true. I'm like that too. I'm always like, okay. Well, you're also like in California, Los Angeles, right? So right. It's like everyone probably is gay. Where was I going though? Oh, yeah, because a lot of people assume, oh, it's because gay guys hang out with a lot of girls that they're like imitating female voices.
Could that not be true?
Oh. I think that the research says it's partially true, but when they actually analyze, like you say, like the consonants and the vowel sounds in their mouth, it's more like they find they're borrowing some sounds and not necessarily just imitating a female voice, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's like, it does make sense if you're surrounded by girls growing up, like mm-hmm. at really impressionable ages, you're going to like try and adapt to the way that they're communicating. And so I think that, like you said, gay men have like a larger range. We're less afraid to probably be like, talking like in falsetto, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like being a little silly that way.
So do you think
being a little silly that way? Gay.
Being a little silly that way.
Do we think that, I guess then women have the most like organic voices because they're not trying to put something on and they haven't been pressured to?
I think we're forcing this putting thing on for straight guys based on my research. They're not putting necessarily
No, I don't think
on.
That they're putting on a straight voice. It's okay. Not like they're like behind closed doors like, yes, honey. I think that there is just an idea to perform masculinity.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not saying they're unnaturally like tuning their voices one way, but it is interesting that if you're saying gay men have like
more
a larger
range and so do women and so do women. So and like, I see that feels more natural.
Yeah. And like, I would always remember like getting clocked more and like getting called gay, the more expressive I was. And so it's like, mm-hmm. I think it's even less about just like talking gay and more just about general like expression and like the more.
Yeah. That is so interesting. There's so much research on this. You get to realize why, because it actually just does go into all the like gender stuff, all the toxic masculinity stuff. Yeah. One thing that one study I read was like, okay, drag us. It was like one study finds that homosexual men produce higher peak frequency and longer duration values for S. Like literally like, like it is like, you know, like that's the stereotype. Well, people, like silly, like, and it's like, they're literally like, they hold their S's. Yeah. I'm like, fuck, we hold our S's. Like, that's it's, what people would make
people
fun of me
for. People
call
it a gay lisp, but I think that it says that it's like a bit of a misnomer because you actually, in an actual lisp, you're mispronouncing the S, whereas it's like gay men overpronounce their S's. S.
But that is like, I remember people clocking my S's like when I was like getting bullied in before I was out. It was like, and then having the freaking like journal article be like, and gay guys sure know how to use their S vowel. I was like, fuck. Like, that is so weird. Like, why was I using my S so much and that actually being gay?
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
It is weird to think about, like, whether you kind of like just naturally were that way or raised that way, or if you picked it up later in life, like
it's bizarre. Well, also just like the general being expressive. What my therapist says, since I have ADHD, I always had to like learn how to mask and use my personality to kind of get by, more so when I like fucked up in school or like couldn't do well in other scenarios. And so it's like, oh, I had to try to be really craft my personality and be expressive and engaging while also trying to mask like being gay. And so it's like, it was a very weird thing that I feel like I was more comfortable just being expressive because I had to be in order to kind of get through just like being a person with the brain that I have.
That's so interesting.
That is really interesting. Like, do you really resonate with that? If you like think back on like putting that on in order to be like, here is like my value. I can be an amazing human.
Yeah. I was like, I was always in performance mode, or like I maybe didn't read the notes or do the assignment right, but I can put on a show.
Even like, you doing that now, I'm like, it's okay.
A plus.
yeah.
But so that's so interesting.
I mean, I think a lot about how obviously that time, like high school and late grade school for gay guys is, and all queer people is like very intense, and how I often wonder, like a lot of gay men in particular are like hyper perfectionists and like really like go-getter successful. And as I've aged, I realize this is not necessarily a good thing. Like perfectionism is actually like can be quite toxic or whatever. But in that same way, I've always wondered, like, is it because that's the only way to like find your value? You're so afraid of like, if I'm gay, if I'm feminine, that like devalues me. But if I can like show I'm good, whether it's like by having an amazing personality, making people laugh, or like being really successful and doing really well in XYZ, then it kind of at least like makes you feel like I'm hiding behind this other thing.
Yeah.
Do you guys know any gay guys who are like talk super mask? Because I do, and they're all fucked.
Canceled.
Now I'm canceled. I was obviously not all hyperbolic, but do you know what I mean? Like, do you know any gay guys who you're just like, damn, they're not even like putting it on?
I'd say I can only just think of, I don't have anyone particular in mind, but sometimes I'm like, oh, I think that's genuine. Like, there are definitely gay guys I know who have straight passing voices and even act super mask, where I'm like, it doesn't feel like a performance. It feels like they are that way. And then there are sometimes people like Clock where I'm like, I feel like that is, they're performing masculinity, or they're afraid to be feminine. So it is like, it can kind of run the gamut for me.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I definitely know somebody who's like out, but not like totally out to their family, and also like works in entertainment. And so, it's really interesting, because even when he's talking to like gay friends, I'm like, and I like barely see this person, but like when I have, it's like, you're like not being fully yourself. Like, you're trying to like pull back. And it's more about like just not even the voice. It's just like the general, like, let me not be too dynamic.
Yeah. And you can tell when someone is not, because some people just are like more muted people, and that can be natural to them. And so I always feel bad when it's like, obviously you don't want to put people in boxes. Like, to be gay doesn't mean you have to be like overly over the top or have a gay voice or be emotional. But yeah, it's just like an interesting thing. And it is so tied into toxic masculinity. It's hard to read because it's like straight men face this as well.
It is so interesting that the studies are literally that there's just greater pitch variation in gay men than straight men. Because it does immediately, you're just like, it does feel like, as much as it might be true or not, that it takes restraint to sound straight. And like when we're describing gay guys who sound straight, we're describing them as like being like restrained and like keeping their pitch like actually smaller, and that's actually how you sound straight.
Oh, that's wait.
Crazy.
Hey, Carla. Huh? Oh, could you not vacuum up here? Okay. Sorry.
I'm so sorry. I thought you were going to be like, hey, Carla, do you think I sound gay?
No. I got it. Hate myself. What I've noticed is that even like, because I started YouTube in 2014, and I had been out for like, 8 years by that time. I was like 21. But even when I started compared to now, just how different I act, even on camera, is wild. Like, I'm so much more myself. And people will comment like, oh my God, like, he got so much gayer. But it's once I got, I guess, acceptance from such a large amount of people, I was like, oh, like, I'm powerful. Like, I actually like don't have to care about anybody anymore. And I'm not saying that like it's good to get your worth from external validation, but just like once I realized that I could actually be myself and still have approval from so many people, I just got less and less scared. And so now I'm just like, it's a weird perspective, but I'm like, now I just have so much validation from the world knowing that like I can act exactly how I am and authentically and not be, I guess, like crucified for it, which is how I felt for so long.
And now the pitch variation is high.
She goes high, she goes low. But yeah, like I...
That's amazing. I feel like I don't even know if I'm still there. I think that's like so cool that you found that. It's like sometimes challenging because we're in a science space, so I still feel like we are often surrounded by, like, of course, people who are listening to this pod, and a lot of our like followers or fans or whatever are obviously okay with us being gay and queer, but we're still like in these spaces that are still super heteronormative and predominated mm-hmm. by other like men who are super straight. And so sometimes I can catch myself still trying to perform that, or having the fear of like, it's a really sad thing to have to think, if I talk more gay, do people believe me less, or do they think
Absolutely.
That I
that's
I actually,
so dark.
I know, yeah. But that's like, there's even studies on so that. True. Like, and women have to face that as well. Like, how do you show that you are an authority or on something, or know what you know, and yeah. not compromise that, especially if you're like teaching somebody. And yeah. so like, yeah, it's definitely sad and dark to me. Like yeah. I'm so jealous in that way. Like you're in a space where you've found, and we've definitely found that support, and on certain platforms, it's like a lot more than others. And it's always when we have more female followers, which is like, go figure.
My audience is 90-10. Well,
Wait, really 90-10?
It was 90-10. I will say now that I've been posting more thirst traps, it's more like 70-30.
It's the gay men now.
But the gay men are swooping in. Maybe the straight men too. Or the bi guys. The bi guys.
When I open my mouth, they're like, oh, that faggot.
Bi people is funny because in all these studies, there's like, they always have to go through the like procedures. And then, and all the ones I read, they're like, and people who identified as bisexual, we kicked out of the study. Like, because they were like,
really?
Because they were like, we don't really know. We're studying gay voice versus hetero. And it was like, people like waltzing and being like, I'm bi. And they're like, that's great. Have a good day. Like,
they just, more like, bi
they
erasure.
Just like made them leave. But okay, well, one thing, like the reason why there could be a gay voice, one study went on to say that it could be a selective adoption model to like signal to other people.
Oh right.
Because like everyone's like, why is there a gay voice? And they can't answer, obviously, but the theories that kept coming up was like, it's a way of signaling to other gay people, like, I'm gay, I'm safe. And maybe we modulate, obviously, to like, if it's a bunch of straight people, we're like, okay, maybe we won't pitch modulate so hard because, but then when you get into the in group of gay guys, it's like a way of signaling like, we're safe. Mm-hmm. Like we can be ourselves. I was like, it's kind of cool.
I definitely do that around girls. Like if I want a girl to know that like I'm a safe male presence, like I will immediately talk more gay. Yep. Do you guys do that?
Oh yeah. Oh my
you
God.
Know what I mean? Like
late at night, if I like see a girl, I'm like, girlina, just saw the slayest musical movie. And they're just like, okay, I'm not trying to do anything wrong. Walk
I
back
love Lady Gaga. Yeah.
No,
that's like
say,
a joke,
yeah.
but it's true.
Even like at night, like walking, like if I'm like walking by like a girl, I'll be like, oh my, like, excuse me. Or just like, I want
yes.
Like, ally,
totally.
Like you are safe here.
Yeah. Like sometimes even on the subway, like I'll also just like, I don't know. I'll like just say things like, oh my God, gorgeous outfit. Or like things like that. Like I'll just kind of be like, even on the subway sometimes, I'm like, I just want these like girls around me to just know that like I'm a gay guy.
Yeah,
I actually know what it is. It's sometimes I'm actually looking at their outfits and loving them, and I get paranoid that they think I'm a creep.
Like sexualizing them or something?
And then I'm like, slay mama! Yeah. Because I'm actually looking them up and down, being like, you look amazing. But I don't want them to be like, that fucking... And so
yes,
like,
well, that
like,
occurs to me a lot where I'm like, if someone's like, yeah, beautiful, I don't want to say something and then be like, that's a creep. That's somebody who's like, I know, it's like, no, this is from a gay man.
Yeah,
I'm too shy to ever say something, but I play this role in my head where I'm like, if I were to say something, I would let them know.
You're beautiful.
No, it's fun to perform gay and like even lean into it more. So it's like, even like when you're like this, then it's not necessarily like your real gay voice, but it's just like playing into that range is just it's fun, and it's also just a part of just like getting
like
and it does I think in major cities like Toronto and LA, it actually you can assume creates a maybe comfort. Like it's like even around straight guys, like I notice that I'll go really gay to kind of like.
Yeah, you're like, we're not competing.
Yeah, we're not competing. Exactly. Yeah. Like, I don't want you to even think that I'm competing because it's like, it's a way to get out of anything. Like, I can't really describe it, but it's like, if I've done something embarrassing in public,
Right.
Like, I'll immediately be like, oh, wait, the whoops. Like, and it's like, it kind of like, it just like disarms everything. It's like, no, yeah. I'm not actually ashamed of this. Cause like, if I was straight, I would be. Cause they're like so ashamed of everything they do.
I think straight men also like signal too with their voice, and like, they will go lower if they're like, oh, this is a gay person. Like, they need to know that I'm not gay. Like,
it gets so tender. It's like,
oh, right. That's good, man. That's good, man.
And their name is always true. Brody.
We, our gayest friend is named Brody, so it's so good. It's like, all right. Not for us.
I found an interesting thing that said this phenomenon also does exist in lesbians as well.
And to mask?
I don't know. They said like it's much less. What was the line? It was like, it is not. Studies have also found unique features of lesbian voice, but these are far less socially noticed than features of gay male speech. So like, it exists. I didn't like
maybe their pitch intonation is less all over the place when they're trying.
I'm not sure. I'm curious, like, for any lesbians listening or just queer non-binary, like, do you find in your communities, like, is there a version? Yeah. Where you're like masking up your voice more to fit in, or would you change your voice if you're around like straight people versus queer people? Like, I am curious about that.
Oh yeah.
Cause I think it is. Yeah. It's very culturally talked about that gay men have a gay voice.
Uh-huh.
And we also just like, are more free than straight guys, that like our intonation's obviously going to be all over the place.
Well, yeah, like what you were saying, Caleb, like it's also just fun. It's like, if you're having fun, you just want to be able to express that, even if it's not your like quote unquote real voice. Like, is there such a thing as a real voice? Like,
we're all just like, too, it's like, what is it's like, because like when I'm sad, or if like when I'm, it's like my voice also changes depending on my mood, and it's just that freedom of expression. I think it's that I feel like I'm just clocking that. But yeah, like my voice, like I get lower sometimes, like when I'm being serious, for sure. Or it's, I guess we just allow ourselves to access that range that other people don't, or straight men
don't. Totally think it is that. Like, we allow ourselves to go there, because there are times where I am like, I talk way more straight, and it's not like I'm putting that on. It's just that's the way that
the environment
feels. But then I can go super gay.
Like, if I'm mad,
it feels like,
ooh. Like, I'll get
if you're mad, if it's I'm like,
mad, it's, no, it's, no, it's straight. Oh, it's a man.
Oh my god, that's so scary. That's so, you're so man scary.
Oh my god. Well, I definitely like, yeah, not that I,
your voice isn't that gay.
Yeah, I'm more like, I can present more as mask, I think, than you.
Yeah,
maybe than you as well, Caleb. I don't know. I don't actually know, but I just think like,
what?
I don't know.
He just ends there. I'm way I'm just, more masked.
I don't know where I'm going with that. Yeah, like, it is interesting to be like, because most of the studies say that it's not an innate behavior. It's a learned behavior. So whether you're picking that up or it's more like culturally, like there was a study I came across that was like, most of these conversations happen for English speakers. So they wanted to study, I guess you did one on Italians. I did one on
the
French people.
I saw that.
Let me see if I can find it. So, they were
also French people. I'm like, gay.
They also were like, is it okay? Lost all the French.
They all sound gay. I'm joking.
They also tested if testosterone was like a difference. Like, do people who have higher voices or gay men who speak more quote unquote with a gay accent, like, is there a difference in testosterone? They found none. So like, that was not correlated at all. Like, having high testosterone didn't mean that you'd have like a less gay voice.
That's good for straight guys to know. Because I bet that they probably think gay guys have low testosterone.
It could make your voice deeper, I guess, right? But like, not your inflection.
Fair. Yeah, exactly. Because you could have a low voice, but still like a gay accent.
Yeah, like Bob the drag queen or whatever. Yeah, right. Like, voice is so low, but it's like, you're gay.
Yeah.
But I also feel like sometimes those homophobic comments that we get are actually straight guys thinking we're putting it on.
Yes.
So I think they are actually innately talking like that. Like, I don't think they're holding that much back. I think they sometimes think we're
putting
being extra like for to gain something. And it's so funny because it's like, all we're gaining is like homophobia from people. Like, we're not gaining anything.
I think it's like, oh, go ahead.
Well, it's like when you first come out too, and you're just like leaning into it, I think there is like a learning period where you're like, I want to fit in with gay people. Like, do I need to act a certain way? And you kind of have to figure out like who you really are. And I think especially in the beginning, like when you're making gay friends for the first time, you, again, it's like who you're around. So you're picking up those habits. And I think maybe some people do put it on more and then like have to eventually find out like where they actually live. But I definitely notice myself being like, do I need to be like, act different or be even gayer? And it's such a weird, I feel like, learning experience, like when you first start to like accept yourself.
That's so true.
Yeah, and then start to have, like you said, even for me, and I think for Greg as well, like you transition, not that you like have less girlfriends, but you start to be like meeting gay mm-hmm. men and queer people, and your friend group changes in a way that now you're being exposed to like all these different ways to be queer, right? Like you have one vision probably from media when you're young, and then now you can be like, oh, like some people talk like super fruity and some people talk really mask, and I can like kind of actually figure out who my voice is.
Well, didn't they say that like gay men had, like, especially within media, got their voices or their personalities, like kind of borrowed it from Black women?
Yeah, something I was going to bring up was like there's a lot of like AAV conversation and ballroom conversation. Like a lot mm-hmm. of lingo comes from these like Black queer communities. Yeah. And then obviously that spread to like just queer community in general. So like a lot of it is just like language that's being used that can signal it. I was thinking about this really thing you said though, of how like
the what thing, sorry.
Well, like how straight guys look at a lot of gay people. Like when we get comments, I think it is straight guys being like, why are you acting like this? Sometimes I think it's like they just haven't been exposed to it, so it feels so foreign to them, right? Like, I think it's like if you're a straight person who lives in a large city where there's lots of gay people, you will have come across it so it doesn't feel like it's put on. Mm-hmm. Because you're like, oh, I understand and I've like heard this voice before. In a way, it's almost like a language of its own. Like having an accent, it communicates a lot. It's part of your culture. It's part of whatever. And so I think those people on the internet probably have like never actually met a gay person before. So mm-hmm. to them, it's like, I don't know anyone who behaves like this.
Those pitch frequencies are off the charts.
Yeah, well, they're probably like, that. I've never heard someone talk
about
this.
Or I have, but it's like my girlfriend.
Yeah, so you must be performing this.
Well, okay, but then I'm like, that is so interesting because so much about like outside of the conversation of gay and straight is like authenticity. And like, I do think a lot of issues with people online getting called out or like kind of being cringy is an inauthenticity. And there is something really interesting there about gay men actually adopting like Black mm-hmm. and Black female accents, which I think could rub a straight person the wrong way with mm. if they're being like, that's inauthentic. Mm. And I do think like we shouldn't just be like all gay guys are just being themselves, because you're right, like there is an interesting like commodification of Black culture that's problematic, that actually if we look at it, the three of us are probably like, that is fucked
they are
up.
Putting it on
but it's like that's such an interesting take of being like, okay, this isn't just innocent.
Yeah, fully. I mean, it's so, that's why it's like so challenging to study or even talk about, because you're like, it's someone's voice, right? Like every single interaction in their life has led to them communicating this way.
Yeah, well, I'll even, like, I so before, so like I do like live streams every week where I do like my old dances, but we perform them live. And so I have to go back and like watch the videos every week. And when I listen, I swear to God, every week I'll fucking kick my iPad over. I'm like, shut up. I'm like, I hate his voice. Because the way I was speaking too, I can like, that wasn't me. That was like a...
Interesting.
It was
like... Wait, so this is like from what era? Like when?
I would say like 2014 to like 2016-ish. It's like
when you were first kind of creating content?
Yeah, and I was like...
What would you describe the way you sound? Like, what is it?
I was like, move your body to the side. And I was like, who the fuck are, like, what? It's just the way I was, even like the words I would use, I would like the abbreviations I would use. It was just like, I cringe at myself, but I'm like, I can see now me putting that on. And I was, of course, like using a performance voice, which I still do. But the way I used to do it was just, it was almost like when you're trying to be cool in high school and like you're trying to like use slang words. And I'm like, that's so sad, sweetie. That's not your voice.
Well, I guess that is like we all are maybe always trying to figure this out.
Yeah.
And I do think there is, like, I heard a guy at the gym recently and I was just like, there's just no way you talk like that. He was just like, there's like a stereotype of a Toronto accent and it is also very Black commodification. This guy was white and he was like, yo, like gonna come through there, Gaines, like, no, bro. Like, mm-hmm. And I was like, what? And I was just like, it was so close. I would never do it, but I wanted to be like, what are you saying? And like, where did this come from? Like, this is not authentic, mm-hmm. but this is a straight version of what we have maybe also had to go through, like mm-hmm. figuring out our voice.
I will point specifically because I remember I was watching a video I did to MILF Money by Fergie. I was watching it with my mom, and she was like, she looked at me, she said, Caleb, like, why do you have to talk that gay? Like, and she, like, I was, of course, like, Mom, that's problematic. Like, you can't say that. But I, when I watched it back, like, that's the video.
She's right.
I go back to that video, and I'm like, that's when I started to, like, realize that I wasn't being authentic. Because I was being, like, over the top and loud and crazy, but which I still am. But that video specifically, I was like, that is... Don't ever do that again. Like, that is not you.
And wow. So your really, mom, like, clocked you so hard. She's your mom.
Yeah. Yeah. She's just like, that's not your voice. And I was like, you know what? That is homophobic, and you're right.
Yeah. Sometimes homophobia is right. We talk about that a lot on this podcast.
Well, it's honestly, like, not to go on a tangent, but it's like, how do you, because I feel like both of you guys, like, obviously I know Greg really well. You guys know yourself really well. You're even acknowledging, though, like, maybe you didn't. I've always, like, struggled with the idea of who I actually am and, like, clinging on to, like, what, whether we're talking about voice or, like, the things I want in life or what I want to do, it's, like, what draws you to actually know? Like, looking, is it just a feeling when you listen to your old self that you're, like, that wasn't authentic? Or what draws you now to be, like, this is my actual voice? I'm curious for both of your perspectives. Because I feel like I'm always, like, I don't know. Like, I actually don't. Not that I don't know myself. I know myself really well, but I don't know if I feel like there's this, like, real version of me. I don't know.
Whoa, that's deep.
That is deep.
I don't know how to answer that. Honestly.
I feel...
Go.
I feel like mine is ever-changing to where, like, I'll go back, and sometimes maybe I am just cringing because that's, like, the old me, but I did feel like that was inauthentic, but I think I feel comfortable now, and I'm not, like, when I watch a video that I do now, I can cringe at myself, but I'm like, well, you know, that's me. And I think maybe in like 10 years, I'll be like, who is that person? But it's like, we're just constantly changing and evolving. So maybe there is no like true version of ourself, but it's, I think, more about just like how you feel in the moment is at least how I go by it.
That's fair. Like if you're feeling like you're being
like, I don't feel like I'm hiding. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also think for me, it's like, I think you're probably expressing more about me in real life. Because one thing that I do struggle with and always have, because I never grew up with any experience like on camera or like doing theater, was like, I do feel like if I watch old videos of me, I'm like, that's not me, because I don't know how to perform literally properly. I think a lot of performance and like acting that's successful is making it seem like what you're doing is authentic. Mm-hmm. Whereas I'm like, I had no experience with that. So I think I can still look at old videos of me and be like, that's not who I am. But I think what you're maybe discussing is me in real life, which is true. I've never actually felt uncomfortable in real life settings, and I don't put things on in public. But I still think I struggle with like online, because if a camera's on me, like I kind of am. I think I struggle a little less than you, but I think I still am like not being myself.
Yeah.
Because I'm not an actor. Yeah. Like, and I never have been. And I can see old videos of me and see that I'm clearly like the camera's rolling and I'm acting fucking weird.
Yeah.
But do you feel that now?
If you feel that way too. Yeah. Like, do you guys feel
that? Yeah. I still feel that way because I still feel that way. Like, especially talking about like our science videos, I'm like, this isn't how I would describe this if it was me talking to a friend. And I'll try to do that when I give my information. But like, there's a lot of points you have to hit and like, things you have to actually say, and you've written this in a way so that it makes sense to people scientifically, that is not natural.
Yeah.
And you have to...
I think it's different, like, on this pod, like, obviously, like, we go through science, but, like, this is closer to how we actually speak.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
in
yeah.
a video, when it's a 5-minute science video, I also find it very challenging to, like, look at the camera and be like, what do I actually sound like? Because you are, like, you're basically
reading
a script.
And you have to perform literally.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so it's different, is it not?
Yeah. My dance videos versus, like, me in real life.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If I had to hang out with the guy who does the dance videos, that'd be fucking awful. How obnoxious to have him squawking at you all day. Like, no, and that's what people meet me in real life and they're like, oh, like, you're not like your videos. And I'm like, thank you.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember meeting you in your life and not thinking you weren't like your videos, but being like, oh my God, you're like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like,
I guess
because you actually do come off as quite authentic. Like, honestly, you do come off as pretty authentic in your dance videos. Like, I think you're picking up on something that I might not be able to pick up on in you when you're like, it's so whatever. Like, it doesn't come off as that performative that when you meet you in real life, you're like, oh, whoa, it is a performance more than I realized.
I mean, I think it's I'm very authentically me in the videos. It's just, it's in the videos, it's like I'm 110% the entire time.
Yes.
To whereas, like, I have levels in real life where I'm not always bouncing off the fucking wall.
Yeah.
Like, and I think,
honestly, you're actually cool, whereas, like, most people we meet from YouTube aren't cool. That's it's like a separate feeling that I've had about you. It's not that you're different than your videos. It's like, oh, thank God.
Like meeting like real life.
Someone
being
who
like,
we can like actually normal, like hang awesome out. Person. And like, it's not like psychotic.
Oh my God, Craig.
Well, I'm not naming names.
You guys are one of the first people I met because I met you at Creator Summit in 2019. Right? I think so.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like pre-pandemic. Sure.
And I just remember like I was so scared and so nervous. And like I had never been, that was my first like YouTube event I got invited to. And you were like, we've been doing this forever. But you guys were just so cool. And like I felt so comfortable being around you. And I was like, I found gay people. Like it was, I just remember like that was a core memory of like you guys made me feel
Which
safe.
One was like, you'll remember if it was the first one, like where was it?
It was New York at that one random hotel in Alicia Keys, we skated. They gave us skates.
Oh, the rollerblades?
We went to a roller rink, remember?
Wasn't that in like Spain?
No,
it was New York.
No, it was in New York, it was Brooklyn, yeah.
Brooklyn.
We went, the one where we're like, we were rollerblading. Or no.
No, that was in Spain. Was it bowling?
It was bowling.
Oh, no.
No.
No. It was roller skates.
This sounds insane.
We've just been to so many.
No, we literally have been to way too many of these things. It's like, oh, yeah, we all got like I don't know, like an engraved YouTube robe or whatever the fuck. Okay, but it was in Brooklyn.
It was a Brooklyn hotel, yeah. And
yes,
I remember specifically meeting you guys at, and it was like one of the first after parties, and it was just like a bar in the hotel. And it was a dark room,
the dark room, we met in the dark
and
room.
And you probably were room. Like, they've got gay voices, I feel safe.
I did!
It is crazy how much you have to find gay, you have to put on the gay voice and find gay voices at those events. You're like, this is a YouTube event, but it's so hetero. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many different types of YouTubers, and you're just like, whoa, it's not the ones I'm watching.
Who was there? It was like Joey and Eugene and Manny.
Oh, yeah, I remember that now. Yeah, okay.
And we had like the
picture of that hotel.
Yes.
Going back to you, you've been talking about just like putting on a version of yourself. It's interesting to think about like, yeah, but it can still be an authentic 110 version.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like I've always
thinking about because
tried to do that. But like when I'm on camera, I do very poorly when I have to try to be something other than myself. And I used to think I wanted to be an actor, and then I realized that all I could do was really just act like me. And so I leaned into that with YouTube. So I've never really had to try to be something else, which is nice. Mm. But like,
So when you were discussing that like kind of straight passing like gay guy earlier and saying he's in entertainment, do you mean it's because he probably has more experience? Like if you were a gay guy and an actor, you'd be better or at least more versed in changing your voice and learning. Like you're essentially learning how to, you know, navigate the way you come off as an actor.
I mean, I guess we're all
it's
actors.
Interesting. Thinking about acting, I've always realized most actors tapped into how they would actually act, like how to have an authentic reaction. And I think there's not that many, but the best actors in the world can actually become somebody else.
Yeah.
Character. But I feel like even some really famous actors, you're like, oh, they kind of
Jennifer Aniston.
They're themselves. Well, yeah. I wouldn't necessarily call her like an amazing actor.
No, that's what I mean. She's just like Rachel in different
forms.
Yeah.
She's like, how would I behave in this situation? Yeah. I think most actors are like that. Cause that's the easiest place to go is to be like, okay, just act naturally. Yeah. But
that's how like Tom Cruise does it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Gay. So <that makes sense. laughs>
The only last little bit of research I wanted to say is one of the unique features that they've like quantified the gay accent with is basically like sounding smart. So it's like when other people speak, it says with carefulness or clarity, including over articulating and expanding the vowel spaces in the mouth. That's how a lot of people, like if they're presenting, will slow down and will articulate more carefully and will emphasize things. And apparently that is natural to like the gay accent. Huh. It's like,
oh,
you can understand a gay man more clearly.
Yeah. Oh my God. I do have like
that was good.
Pretty close straight friends. And it's always like, what? They're like mumble. They mumble. They actually mumble. And it's like kind of like straight, but I'm also like, it's cute or whatever, but I'm like, what did you say? Whereas, yeah, they never are like, what did you say, Greg? I'm like, I told you exactly what I felt.
And then the only other thing I wanted to bring up was in studies, they realized when they just give voices, it actually is harder for people to clock because so much is, again, back to mannerisms, the way you dress, the way you look. Like when you have the whole picture, it's a lot easier to be like, oh, that's a gay person. But when they're just listening to sounds, it's not that they can't clock it, but they were saying like they're not able to explain why they could necessarily tell one voice is gayer than the other.
Also, it's like probably so problematic for us to be like, oh, they have like vocal intonation and they speak with more pitch variancy. They sound gay, because it's like those are probably just the straight guys who have found and are comfortable with themselves.
Who?
I'm just saying like in general, like, oh. Like I feel like you are someone who would be like, they're gay. But it's like actually sad because it's like a straight guy finally is like, I'm going to break the mold and be myself. And we're like, gay. And it's like, no, I'm actually like, it's like we have to give them space.
I think about it all the time. I'm like, why are you guys just like not being yourselves? And I'm like, you're one of us.
Yeah, they're like, that's why they're worried we're just gonna like blow them out of nowhere if they talk too expressively.
But I think like Gen Z gives me hope. Like people are more accepting now than ever, and
they're like all bi.
Yeah, have realized it's like a spectrum, and it's like you can talk gay or straight, and you can be gay or straight, and it doesn't fucking matter. You can be everything in between.
And then people like Noah Beck, who is just like, I'm like, I don't know. Do you know who Noah Beck is on TikTok?
Yeah, yeah. Like, but wait, he didn't actually come out, did he?
No, he just got
taken.
But I saw a video recently where people were like, did he actually come out? No, okay, that was just
I have that reaction at least once a week on Twitter. Someone posts a photo, I'm like, he did it! He came out! No.
Yeah, it was like him hugging some guy that like is his like influencer friend.
It's always okay.
And everyone was just like, gay, and you're just like, and he has it. He has an expressive voice. Like he could easily be a straight guy with an expressive voice, mm-hmm. or a bi guy or whatever, but it's like because his pitch intonation is all over the place. We're like, gay!
It is like, it's that, Shawn Mendes has that too. Like people clock him and think he's gay, whether they are or not, but it's like, it is in his voice. Yeah, and maybe it's their mannerisms
as well.
Is it
gonna get, if everyone gets more comfortable and like is more expressive, then is it gonna get more like, I guess, important to define ourselves or be like, I am, like, and have to actually tell people like, I'm gay, I'm straight, and like ask people almost like pronouns at some point?
I wonder.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it is interesting. If pitch, imagine, know what the next, like, this is what your master should be if you're, like, a vocal scientist. Pitch intonation between generations. Mm. Are the younger generation that are more sexually and, like they're less gender binary, are the men speaking with more pitch, like, variation than, like, millennials and up who have been, like, shoved into this binary that like men don't talk like that.
Yeah.
Without, and then also asking their sexuality, and they might be like, oh, I am straight or I am bi, but I talk more like this. But I still think that it doesn't mean we have to like come out more.
I just wonder if it's gonna get. I know. I just mean like,
actually gay though, because like, everyone's just like acting gay.
Just like sometimes I'll like just, I guess being in LA too, I'll take for granted just being able to know like, oh, you're gay. Like we're in West Hollywood. We're at a gay bar. Mm-hmm. You're like, there's just so many like context clues you use, and it's like, I just forget how much the voice I rely on, and I probably should clock my own bias with that, because like you're right, like it does probably make straight men uncomfortable to be themselves.
So you mean like, what do you mean? Like,
well, that you're saying like as society becomes more comfortable with being like more queer.
Oh, I have to not judge people for being.
Yeah, like there might be straight guys who are comfortable with their voices being more expressive, but
or even like going out in WeHo and it not meaning that they're gay.
Oh yeah, I forget. Yeah, I do. I do have like my best friend. Her boyfriend loves WeHo. Like we did his birthday in WeHo, so like. Honestly, West Hollywood's not even a gay place anymore. It's just a nice place.
An attraction.
It's an attraction.
Do you like WeHo? Like, whenever we like go out there, this is my interpretation of it. It feels like everyone, because the weather's so good, is going from bar to bar, and no one's ever like deciding on the bar. Is that just something that like I've been making up? But it feels like there's so much in Toronto because the weather's bad. Like when you get into a bar, you check your coat and you're there.
Oh,
whereas it feels like there's a lot of transients. It's like, Because you're, and it's like,
and you can see in the bar from the outside of the patio.
Yeah, you can hear the music. And then you can go in for a drink and leave, and it's kind of like, no one's ever making up their mind.
Part we start at High Tops. We go to Stash if Stash is dead, or if you get too drunk at Stash, like I did last Thursday. You go to Motherlode, and then you get more shots there, and then you die. If you leave Motherlode, you go to Mickey's, which is open till 4. It's just like all like right there. So much
that is fun. Yeah. Okay. So the idea is like you're hopping all night.
Because I think what would happen to me is like. Is that like people? Is that like the place that was lit would all of a sudden be not lit because everyone left to go somewhere else? And I was like, damn it! Like this one, like I thought I found the one, but now this isn't the one, and we have to go to the other one.
You have to. It keeps you also just like engaged. There's so much. To see, not, so
like,
much.
That
to
is
do.
Another way of looking at it. It's so different in Toronto. Like you don't.
Yeah, you choose where you're going for the night.
Also, I mean, you've maybe in the summer, moves, you don't get your phone stolen.
Actually,
wait, really? What do you mean?
Do you know the amount of times I've had my phone or like credit card stolen in one of those bars? Like the pickpockets are crazy.
Really?
Wait, yeah. Like what do you?
So like, whoa. But is it not in your pockets because you're putting it on the table or something like that?
No, like it's in like, well, not anymore, but it like was in like my back pocket. It's just like, oh my God.
And
whoa.
It's just like, but if you stay in one place too long, you like get your target.
They're going to target you. I mean, that's just like,
oh my reason, God, there are straight guys out in WeHo, but they're pickpocketers. That's so stressful. Like, you just get home and your phone's gone.
Yeah, and then they've like been to Target, like three different Targets. It was a whole. Anyways, front pocket is the point in WeHo. But I do enjoy it, and it's that's my favorite place I think in LA because it's just it's a whole gay space. I've also been introduced to like the East Side, which is a little grungier. And
did you go to Akbar? That's my favorite bar in LA.
I have been there twice, and it's
so fun.
It's so fun. Or like the jukebox.
It's cute. Yeah, it's like a good vibe.
I see. I'm trying to get more open to things like that, and like that's like not my side of town. But I'm gonna grow.
Oh my God! Like, am I gonna have growth and go to Akbar?
You know, this is like day three of stubble. So like, I'm not even a wee hoodie
anymore. Oh my God! You're gonna get a beard and go to Akbar and start skateboarding and maybe become a graffiti artist.
Get some more tattoos.
You're gonna be bi in 6 months. The voice is gonna shift.
Yeah.
The pitch intonation is gonna shrink. The East Side of LA is always where we would stay. It's so nice over there. It's so like walkable. Although West Hollywood is really nice to walk around.
Yeah, it's
too.
Fun. It's fun.
We force ourselves to walk in LA, and people like honk at us and like smile. They're like, "You're like, keep going." We're like on the highways.
<We're> like, why are you walking here?
Because I refuse.
So used to
I'm like, it.
It
still is actually fun to walk. Like, you see the neighborhoods, you see the houses. Yes, at times you're like, I'm actually like gonna get run over by like an 18 wheeler, and like this is extremely wrong. But other times I'm like, it is. Surprisingly walkable, and the houses is like
it's not really the best like part of it's LA. Just it's the weather's great, but it's not that walkable. But
no, but I mean like a hour walk. We will walk an hour in Toronto. Like you will do that because it's a normal thing to do. An hour walk in LA, you can get somewhere, and if you're do it in a certain way, you can see rich people's houses, and it's fun. Mm-hmm. And half the time, you want to kill yourself. That's true. Yeah,
you know my favorite place to walk is Palm Springs, and that's where I think I saw you guys last. Wait, did I see you? Yeah,
that was, I know, the last Creator Summit ever.
Did you go to Coachella?
I've never been, and I don't think I'll ever go.
Oh.
I've never been.
I just assumed everyone in LA went to that.
Yeah, I'm not really a festival boy.
Oh, you're not that gay, huh?
You're not that gay. So you're a WeHo gay, but you're not a festival gay.
I don't even, you know what? I am me. And I won't be
me.
This is real. Well, on that note, I feel like that we should probably wrap up. So any other final thoughts about gay voices? So we kind of know, we've learned that they are real. The one other stat I didn't say is that they can be, it was like in a Canadian study, 62% of people could identify a gay voice.
Wow.
But it's a beautiful thing.
And pitch intonation is higher. We're more expressive. Mm-hmm. We do sound more like women. We do it more amongst our gay brethren and YouTubers who come out sound more gay after.
It's just like Caleb, I know exactly
what you
you're
do
talking
with
about.
This information. What are you going to take away from
today? I am going to keep being as gay as possible, and I'm going to out every straight man who has the little bit of inflection in his voice. If I see a 20% range in that voice, I'm going to point him out.
Homo!
Also, we're like in this research, we're going to do another episode on it, which is gay face, which is a whole other thing.
And I am also so passionate about this. I am so.
You want to come back on?
There is gay. Yeah, there is bone.
There
you
is
can
gay
look
face.
At the bone structure. You can look at the face.
It's
the
crazy.
Way the eyebrows move in a genuine gay.
There's a new study.
From, don't spoil it.
Okay, but like it's literally they're using AI and they're like the faces are gay. It's crazy. But it could be filler. It could be like. Right. I haven't read the study. I think there could be answers that are like really.
Well, stay tuned for Gay Face episode.
Okay, where can people follow you?
TikTok and YouTube and Instagram, The Fitness Marshal.
Slay. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on the pod. We appreciate your hetero voice. Thank you. It's been great. And thank you everyone for listening. We'll see you next week.
Post.
Bye.
Bye.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.